are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to another episode of Locked On Brewers, brought to you as always by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I'm writing about the great game of baseball. Also, check out my co-host, Vinny Rattino, at Vinny Rattino on Twitter, and check him out on the pre- and post-game show for Valley Sports Wisconsin before and after Brewers games. Also, make sure that you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. On today's episode, the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Brewers, we'll be recapping Tuesday's game, talking about Eric Lauer's great performance, big at bat from Eduardo Escobar, and other takeaways from the 10-0 win over the Philadelphia Phillies to even up that series at a game apiece. Before we get into that, I'll remind you this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app now and join me the next time I go live to get in on the action. All right, Vinny, I want to start out, as I typically have been doing lately, with the star performance of the previous game. Obviously looking at Tuesday's games, and it's got to be Eric Lauer. And we got a lot, really, I want to dive into with Eric Lauer here, but just give you the details. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts on 87 pitches. That's now back-to-back outings in which Eric Lauer has gone 7 innings in 90 pitches or less. He had a 2.01 ERA in his last 11 outings. Just really great work from Eric Lauer here lately, Vinny. And, you know, doing it efficiently as well, just creating weak contact. I mean, his fastball is averaging 93, not exactly, you know, blowing people away, not getting a ton of swings and misses, but just getting some weak contact and being efficient with it, getting done, getting quick outs, Vinny.
Yeah, digging in on Lauer, he's just really got a really, really good ability to tunnel that fastball cutter. They kept calling it a slider. BA kept calling it a slider on TV. I'm almost positive. I mean, it certainly looks like a slider sometimes with the shape at 88 miles an hour. It is bigger. I mean, who cares really at the end of the day? But I think he calls it a cutter. That fastball cutter combo really tunnels well. Hitters have a really tough time picking up which one to kind of key on. And I think he's deceptive at the end of the day. I mean, it is 93, actually. Like, I would consider that pretty good considering where he was last year. And I know he struggled with some things, with some health issues, but like, he's like in the 89, 91 range last year. And then that 93 range to pair with that cutter really just, again, the doubt that he leaves hitters' minds as to what pitch is coming, and it just that little extra zip on the ball, that little extra finish, you can really see it right now from Eric Lauer, and I think that's why he's been having such success. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball in that sample that you just talked about, the last 11 starts or whatever. I mean, if you look at the numbers compared to the rest of the league in the last 11, it's right up there, which is – it's just crazy to think that this pitching staff, with all their weapons, I mean, Eric Lauer lately has been another one.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and you don't even really think about it, right? I mean, he just kind of goes out there and does his job. And, you know, I've talked about the fact he's gone out there and given the Brewers really good innings. I just didn't even realize till I saw that stat, a 2.01 ERA in his last 11 outings, just how good and how quality the innings have been that he's given the Brewers this year. It's just, to me, truly one of the great unsung performances, hero performances of the year. I think he may have been my midseason unsung hero just because out of spring training, I wouldn't have expected to get anything out of him. And here he is now just pitching great and pitching big innings for this Brewers team. I mean, back-to-back 7-inning outings. I would have never thought that coming into the regular season. And you talk about his pitch mix there. Baseball Savant calls it has him registering as a slider and a cutter, the slider at 88 and the cutter at 91. But like you said, either way, he's getting real good deception on that pitch and working well off his fastball. And I just thought he was really locating it well tonight. It just seems like he could place his pitches anywhere he wanted to. There was an at-bat with Bryce Harper in particular where he threw two pitches just off the outside corner down and away that only Bryce Harper takes. And honestly, they called that same pitch a strike on Yelich later in the game. But I mean, it goes to show you, you know, he wasn't going to give in to a guy who might be the MVP, but threw two really good pitches that, I mean, were just hairs off the outside corner of the plate, probably could have gone either way. Just tells you how good he's feeling with his movement right now and the command of his pitches. But looking kind of forward, Vinny, because, you know, obviously you got your big three and Burns and Woodruff and Peralta. Those are going to be your big three going into a postseason series. But with the way Lauer is pitching here lately, I kind of figure he may be playing himself into more of a prominent role come postseason. Now, maybe he becomes a piggyback starter with Hauser. Maybe Hauser becomes a piggyback starter with Lauer. I mean, it's a great situation for the Brewers, but I mean, with the way Lauer's pitching, I think you gotta find a role for him in the postseason, Vinny.
So typically have we been seeing for a four-man rotation in the playoffs? I mean, that's correct, right? I mean,
yeah. Maybe not in the first series, because first series is five games. Sometimes you may, you know, depending on how the series going, but yeah, you typically will see four-man rotations.
Right. So, I mean, right now for me, man, it's splitting hairs between Lauer and Hauser for that four hole. I've got to believe they will shoot. I don't know. Here's what I would do. I would put Lauer in the four hole. I'm sorry. Hauser in the four hole. And I think the team would put Lauer in the four hole, if that makes sense. Really? I don't know why. I just have a gut feeling that, well, I just think metrics wise, Lauer's pitching better, right? If you just look at the FIP, you know, fielding independent, pitching. Yeah. Lauer's better. But I think the way that Hauser, for me, the way that Hauser's been pitching a little more old school, just like commanding that 95-mile-an-hour bowling ball sinker. I do think also it just depends on the lineup. If you stack the lineup with a bunch of lefties against Hauser, he may have a little more issues getting through the lineup. But yeah, I mean, who cares? It's splitting hairs. It's two weapons at the back end of the rotation for the Brewers right now to go along with the top three big dogs that they can go to in the playoffs. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah. And we may talk about this more on our mailbag episode this week, 'cause I know we had a question on it, but I tend to lean towards leaving Lauer in the bullpen just because he's been kind of more familiar with that role this year, kind of bouncing back and forth. He's somebody that, you know, you needed somebody to, like, if they're injury or something, you could thrust him into the rotation. Or perhaps, you know, Woodruff, Burns, or Peralta don't go very long in their starts. They can run their pitch counts up, you know, pretty high. They've been known to do that at times. And you can bring in Lauer for, you know, to get through the fifth and sixth innings and kind of bridge that gap if you need him to. I just think he can be that Swiss Army knife for them, you know, doing kind of whatever they need and doing it efficiently with the way he's been pitching lately. So, again, a very good problem to have, a great performance for him on Tuesday to even up this series. Take a break and we'll come back and give some more takeaways from that 10-0 win on Tuesday. This episode is also brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the Milwaukee Brewers or whatever your favorite team is. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and, of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with me and might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Brewers podcast through our Green Room conversations. Go download the free Spotify Green Room app now, and currently available on all iOS devices. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group of your choice for the latest league updates. And follow me at shortstopball to be notified when my room goes live. Tired of getting killed by daily fantasy sports experts? Don't play experts. Play the house with Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sport book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You're in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, stathero.com/lockedon. All right, Benny, so we talked about the pitching side of things with Eric Lauer and just how great he was and really just dominated control this game for the most part. But the at-bat of the game for me came in the third inning with Eduardo Escobar. You had runners on second and third with one out, and Escobar fell behind 0-2, really had to battle, fouled off three pitches, then worked the count even at 2-2, fouled up another pitch, another knuckle curve from Aaron Nola, and then got one that was left up a little bit. He drove it down the left field line for a 2-RBI double to break the scoring tie and put the Brewers up 2-0. In his first at bat, he had a really good swing as well, lined the ball hard to left field. The one in the third inning was actually hit a little softer, but found some grass. That was a huge hit in this game. Just tells you how dangerous this lineup can be with somebody like Eduardo Escobar in it. But I thought that was a really huge at bat in this game, Benny, coming up big there, making sure to bring in those two runs.
Pesky Esky. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like that.
No, I mean, it's a great at bat. This guy, I thought he was a little bit more of a free swinger type guy. When I first watched him play a little bit with the Diamondbacks and just looking at the numbers, like a 7% walk guy, but I think he just refuses to strike out. He's kind of that kind of guy, and he just has a quality at bat. I also think pitchers kind of attack him, and I don't know if they should, maybe pitch around him a little bit just because he is dangerous and he will punish you if you leave a mistake out over. So phenomenal at bat. That was the at bat of the game. I agree. Obviously it scored the one RBI. Yeah, two RBI.
Yeah, he got two RBI on that. Yeah, on that play. Yeah,
Then Yelich was able to obviously come up with a big hit after that. So broke the game open for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And got the Brewers on the board there. Like I said, Nola, the way he can pitch at times, you get Escobar to strike out there. Maybe you walk Yelich and get Avi to get out of that inning. So big hit by Escobar. Should have had another hit later in the game. Vogelbach kind of got caught in no man's land and ended up being a 9-6 force out, although Escobar did pick up his third RBI of the game on that. You mentioned Yelich had a three-hit game here, had a double in that, a couple RBI and a run. Just continuing to swing a hot bat, Benny, got the average up to 260, OPS up to 766. So finding some holes, that BABIP finally kind of swinging his way. Still not a ton of power, but, I mean, getting hits, I mean, and that's certainly great. You'd rather see that than him not getting hits, but three-hit game from Yelich. I kind of like the lineup, too, having Wong, Escobar, Yelich, and then Avi and Narvaez behind Yelich as well. I really kind of like that lineup construction.
I think what we're seeing is their A lineup just in general, right? I mean, we see everyone kind of in there tonight, right? Wong, Escobar, Yelich, Garcia, Narvaez, Arias, Tellez, Kane. I mean, that's their A lineup. Am I missing someone?
Well, you're missing the biggest piece of the pie there in Willie Adames.
Oh, I forgot about Adames. How did I forget about Adames?
I don't know. How crazy is that? You look at this lineup and think, man, that's a really good A lineup, and yet you're missing, one of your biggest pieces. It again just speaks to the depth of this team right now.
It really does. Yeah. I mean, and that'll be for sure the headline on Twitter tomorrow that Vinny forgets about Adames. But that's how you're right. That's how deep the lineup is. I mean, I don't see an out in that lineup. I don't see an easy place to go for pitchers that they can just command a few sliders down and away, and you're going to get a guy to, swing through them or chase. I mean, every single one of those guys provides you a quality at bat, kind of like the baton passer mentality. And that's what they're so good at all of a sudden, right? I mean, ever since again, I equate it to when, you know, July 23rd is the day I look at, just because that's when you get Kane back, you get Wong back, you get Tellez in there every day. And you really just don't have it out. Abby Garcia really has kind of turned around his approach, in my opinion. I think he's not chasing sliders as much. He's waiting for the mistake. So, I mean, it's a really good lineup all of a sudden. And I think they can – I think – and Aaron Nola is a really good pitcher too, right? So they put up some crooked numbers against him. I think you'll see this in the playoffs against some really good pitching as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned my guy – Avisel Garcia there. I was just getting ready to say, you know, he looks a little rusty. He hadn't played a lot here lately. And then he hit one into your backyard. You may want to go check there, Vinny. He hit one 424 feet, bounced out of the stadium there. God, they were getting him high enough with that basketball early in the game. He finally adjusted, cranked one out. So that was nice to see. You know, that felt good for Avi, who hadn't played in a while. But I want to go back to kind of what you're touching on and just this lineup and how dangerous it is and what I think will really play in the postseason. They had 9 hits on Tuesday with 2 strikes, which just really, you know, talks about their 2 strike approach and just a complete, you know, 180 from what we were kind of seeing from this offense earlier in the year. I mean, that is going to play in the postseason again against a good pitcher, you know. And we talked about the Escobar at bat. That's, you know, that's a prime example there. Fell behind 0-2, fouled off some tough pitches, got a mistake pitch up in the zone, was able to drive it. I mean, that's the thing championship teams are built out of, Vinny.
Exactly. I mean, you're going to have to scrape and claw a few base runners and kind of get a, you know, a big hit with runners in scoring position in the playoffs against a guy like Zach Wheeler that they faced yesterday. Again, I don't think they had their A lineup in there yesterday. And the shadows they were contending with as well. So I just think – yeah, this team is built to win in the postseason. They just are. I mean, you look at teams like the Kansas City Royals and how they won the World Series back, 2014. And that's how they were built. A bunch of scrappy, quality at-bat type of hitters that passed the baton. They ran the bases well. They played defense. They pitched a phenomenal bullpen, that team. But, I mean – those are the types of teams that win the World Series, and the Brewers are built to win the World Series. So I think they have as good a shot as anybody, if not the best shot to win it. So we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. This is definitely a complete game. I mean, you're getting, you know, what is essentially the Brewers' 5th or 6th starter just completely dominating this Phillies lineup, who's, you know, scratching and clawing, trying to get into the postseason. Meanwhile, the offense puts up 10 spot on their 2nd-best starter. So, you know, as bad as the Brewers have been against the Phillies this year, part of that, you know, came back in May where this lineup really wasn't what it is now. But also, Zach Wheeler is just really, really good. You got to tip your hat to him, but if you did match up in the NLDS, you know, once you get past Zach Wheeler, I think you feel a lot much better about the Brewers in that Phillies matchup. Take another break here. We'll talk about the final game of this 3-game series. See if the Brewers can win this potential NLDS preview matchup. The show is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Tell you about them all the time. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. They have a bunch of different flavors from coconut, almond toffee, mint, peanut butter fudge, and dark chocolate raspberry. Just a ton of really interesting, really cool flavors you don't normally get in protein bars. Something that's going to give you a very unique taste, something that tastes good as well. And what I appreciate is they're not hard as a rock like a lot of the other protein bars out there. Has a soft middle that's very easy to chew and easy to get down. They're very good, they're very tasty, and they're great for you as well. Most of them only have about 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. So whether you like to take them before workout, after workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether they're just a snack for you like they are for me, you can eat them anytime. They're packed with protein. There aren't a lot of carbs involved, so it's a great treat for you to be able to have, and they taste amazing. I can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to BuiltBar.com today. Try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Just go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON15. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, so not a lot of news on Tuesday. There was an update on John Curtis. He had Tommy John surgery this past week. Not expected to be back until the 2023 season. So, again, the Brewers got two relievers at the deadline, and pretty much both of them aren't going to be very useful the rest of the way. Daniel Norris is, you know, the last guy in the bullpen right now. Curtis unavailable till 2023, but that Eduardo Escobar move definitely paying dividends at this point. Looking ahead to Wednesday's matchup, game three of this series between the Phillies and the Brewers, again, could be a preview of the NLDS matchup if the Phillies can come back and win the NL East. And the pitching matchup on Wednesday is Kyle Gibson versus Freddy Peralta, which very well could be a game three matchup if these two teams do meet up. Phillies got Kyle Gibson at the trade deadline. Freddy Peralta, a little rough, or more than a little rough, coming off his IL stint, his last time out. Vinny, what are you expecting from these two pitchers on Wednesday?
Gibson's got the good hard slider that he's kind of learned how to corral. He's a good looking arm. Scouting with the Rangers, I was recommending the acquisition in terms of signing him. So were a bunch of other guys in the room at the pro scouting meetings, but he's a good looking arm. He's kind of putting it together this year, so they have another year of control. I actually like that move at the deadline for them, but so he's going to be a formidable opponent right here. And then Freddy Peralta obviously is I just chalked that last start up just a little bit of rust. I think in the first inning I think he struck out three, and then he kind of ran into some issues in terms of commanding the slider, trying to make it do a little too much. But yeah, I mean, Freddy Peralta will be fine. He's just going to ramp up the pitch count. Again, I think the idea with Freddy is to almost treat these starts as like spring training starts to kind of ramp them up towards the end of the year, as crazy as that sounds, September. Really doesn't matter if they win, to be honest. I mean, he's such a key piece to this rotation into the playoff run that I think you just got to make sure he gets through whatever, how many pitches they have him on healthy. And then obviously sharpen up the command some to the slider and stuff. So that's what I see out of tomorrow's game. Honestly, I don't even really care if they win. Just a nice, a good look from Freddy Peralta tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. As somebody who covers the Braves, though, I'm definitely hoping the Brewers win. But I am just more so looking for Freddy Peralta to see if he can bounce back, looking for a better outing from him. I do think his pitches will be limited a little bit there. I know you mentioned that. I wouldn't be surprised if they have him at around 75 pitches. It does kind of seem like they're trying to just work him up, get him ready for the postseason, which I think is a smart play here. But I think, you know, it could be another short outing, maybe five innings at most for him, just depending on how efficient he is. But definitely that will be the key in tomorrow's game, just seeing how Freddie bounces back from that last start, just continuing to kind of ramp things up, get back to where he was. But hopefully the Brewers do come out on top and get a good series win against a good Philadelphia Phillies team. Once again, somebody they could be facing not too distant future and in the postseason. So definitely good to get some good vibes going against them, especially with the way the Phillies have pounded the Brewers earlier in the year, winning the first five matchups against us. So hopefully the Brewers can get that done on Wednesday. That will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at Shortstop Ball and Benny at Benny Rotino. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Lockdown Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.